Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you so very much for joining us. We're live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. It is 2 p.m. Eastern right now and 11 a.m. Pacific, coast to coast, and we're also broadcasting worldwide. We also archive all of our shows. You can find them on our websites as well as our guest sites and also on iTunes and Stitcher. It is Tuesday, November 28th, 2017, at the time of this broadcast, and we're continuing our stimulating and thought-provoking and invigorating conversation with Loretta Harrington. Now, Loretta is the author of Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, which recounts the story of her remarkable experience meeting someone she knew in a previous lifetime and the profound friendship that blossomed between them. The moment of meeting Zura. Zura is the person we've been talking about at great length. There was a real revelation for Loretta. She says she knows people have come in and out of her life for a certain reason, but there was so much magnetism on a spiritual level that she couldn't reconcile it. I've read the book from cover to cover. Matter of fact, I just suggested the book to a very dear and close friend this past weekend who's going through a lot of different things in her life. A lot of illnesses around her. There was a death of a mutual friend that we both experienced this weekend. And just a lot of different things that she's looking at and questioning. And really, this book can be a great sense of grace and encouragement for her. And it can be for you, too. It really is an amazing story. Loretta has painstakingly shared with us. It's a riveting book. It's definitely a page-turner and one that you're going to refer to probably again and again, as you may even have some questions about a soul connection. A soul connection is when one soul or one spirit recognizes another soul from the past. Now, you may have been resistant to this. You may have said, no such thing, doesn't exist. Or perhaps, you know, I don't believe in these things, whatever it may be. But when and if it does happen, it is really a unique situation. And Loretta explains to us and has shared with us that each soul has a role to play in a given lifetime and provides a foundation for lessons learned and for soul growth. It really rocks your world, too, when you come to terms with it and you understand it. And when you have that immediate recognition that you had connected to somebody, in her case, it was Zura, who's actually originally from Russia. Really an amazing, fascinating story, and one that has captivated our audience. And she also says, which I think is a beautiful way to put it, she says the triumph of her book, Peace of Soul Through the Heart of Soul's Journey, is the friendship she shares with Zura and the stories that they share. We're going to talk a little bit more about all of this. I just want to let you know that the book is available at Amazon. You can go to Amazon.com. If you'd like to connect with Loretta, you can go to LorettaHarrington.me. But the book is available at Amazon. Let's say welcome back, Loretta Harrington. I know she's always very excited about the shows. She really looks forward to it, as do I. Loretta, thank you very much for joining us once again. We hope you had a wonderful holiday with your family and friends, and it's always great to hear your voice with us and sharing the story as eloquently and intimately as you have been with us on the show. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's great to be back, and I always find myself telling more about my book than I originally intended to. You have a way of getting to the heart of things. And this series has helped me quite a bit to explain who I am and this relationship that I have with Zura, who's from the country, the former Soviet Union country, and exploring soul connections. And I'd like to say that it comes under the category of of attempting to live a well-lived life, and I identifying those missing pieces in life that we all experience, and why they happen, and how an individual can hopefully feel that sense of loneliness when you experience that from time to time.
Do you think most people have had a similar experience but don't have the sense of recognition like you do?
Yes, I do. I do believe that wholeheartedly, because people are intended to come in and out of our lives. They're there to provide opportunities for our personal and spiritual growth. And if we're not open to it, Jim, we will shut that down and stay pretty much stagnant and not finding ourselves advancing or deepening our relationships with others. If we close our mind to individuals who pop into our lives for a certain reason and depart our lives because they've done their job to bring attention to something that you need to have, So, yes, I am a believer that many people have this opportunity, but they're not intuitive to it, or not open to it. They just kind of shut down and do it the same way each and every day.
Can they be fearful too, maybe?
Oh, I think so. Fear and lack of trust and fear of taking a risk. Let's be honest, when we choose to befriend someone, that takes an incredible amount of responsibility. Fear of opening yourself to that individual and vice versa. And what do you do and how do you protect that, the confidentiality? And so the individual does, in fact, they're afraid of giving of themselves. A lot of risk involved. And that's what I experienced with opening myself up to the character in the book, Zora.
And that's what you've done so beautifully in the book. I really think it's something that just, you know, I want to mention something that you wrote in the book that I think would stand out with people right in the beginning, Our Bond. It's a poem that you have here right in the beginning of the book that particularly spoke to me, and I think it's really nice. I'll share it with the audience. It says, "We looked at his lifeless face. There was no need to embrace. We stood there silently, letting our emotions sit quietly. We formed an unspoken bond. No need to speak and respond. Why now? Why here? Why him? The union wasn't formed on a whim. We witnessed a spirit leaving. I felt his imaginary touch, believing that I would feel his comfort forever. Never would this bond be severed." Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. How did that come to you so beautifully? I mean, it really sums it up in a way that is just, it does grab you.
Well, thank you for that, Jim. You recited it beautifully. That poem came to me after I realized, a couple of years after my dad passed away, and that poem depicts the scene at my father's bedside when he passed from this world. And that came to me because I was grappling with, what is this all about? Meeting someone from a past life with a strong soul connection clearly brings the opportunity for a deep bond. And that's the word I looked at more and more, the bond. And that poem I wrote after the book because I wanted to set the stage for the story, and that was the purpose of putting that in the beginning of the story, because it was about the evolution of how two very different people from different parts of the world came together and stayed together through these last 8 years, going on 9 years next year, and how we managed to work through all of the problems and all of the issues that come with allowing someone to enter your life and into your family. So that poem came to me spontaneously because I wanted the reader to understand that having a sacred bond between someone who witnesses a death is memorable. You'll never, ever forget when you see a soul passing from this life to the next. And he was right there next to me. And as we experienced Dad's spirit leaving, he did too. That's why I wrote that poem, to capture that moment.
And you did it so eloquently and again beautifully as well. The individuals in our own life, how can we recognize these individuals in our own life, Loretta? Are there certain things we should look for or be aware of, a heightened awareness, or does it just happen when it happens?
Well, it typically happens when you feel a certain kinship. I'll use that term, a kinship. There's something there. There's a connection. There's chemistry, as the term is often used. The sparks can fly in some cases where you know that this is just something out of the ordinary. So you realize that connection. Now, the other person may not always realize it, or they realize it towards you, and you're not quite there yet. But they continue to stay in touch, continue to work together. And I don't use the term work because that comes later when the two people decide to stay in close communication. And so that happens more than we realize. Now, I have, since meeting Zora and exploring this relationship, I have allowed others to come into my life. They don't necessarily have a day-to-day presence in my life, but it's on a regular basis, and I can pick up the phone and I can call them and say, hey, I need a few minutes of your time. Something's on my mind, and they're there. And there's no judging. Well, I haven't heard from you in several weeks, so where have you been? None of that. When it's a true connection, a true loving connection, that the door is always open, and you're there, and you're there to help, and you're there to listen. And frankly, you grow from these experiences. And unless the person wants to grow and they're saying, gee, what's going on here? Something is missing. I'm kind of stuck. That's going to be the way that it is probably for the rest of their lives. So I do have others now that I'm very connected with, and there's no doubt in my mind that if I were to have this, explore this, and I'm thinking about doing another book on this subject, there's no doubt in my mind that the souls that I have allowed to enter my life, I've had a past life connection with them. And in fact, I had my DNA done last year because I've had such a strong connection to Europe and Eastern Europe. And lo and behold, over 73% of my DNA originates from Eastern Europe, and a percentage of that is traced back to the country of Georgia in the Caucasia region, Caucasus Mountains region. So I have validation, and I knew it. I just wanted a scientific validation, and that I got through my DNA. So I knew that about me. So people that I connect with, in many instances, Jim, they have roots in that region as well. And so we found each other through the centuries with similar heredity. And the connection moves along rather quickly. I have a young lady that lived in Georgia. We discovered each other on Facebook, and she talked to me at length about this. And she's now exploring her family tree. And I told her, I said, Christina, I'm telling you, in all likelihood, you will be able to trace your feelings and your love for the certain part of the world when you have your DNA taken. And she's doing that now, and she just says to me frequently, I've read your book. My family has read your book. We just know there's a connection there. I have a similar connection, and I said, I believe you do. So if they're open-minded and they're willing to, they're willing to feel a little bit vulnerable, we can have a more fulfilling life and experience with people if we give them a chance, and more importantly, if we give ourselves a chance. And I didn't always do that, Jim. I was a very guarded individual, very analytical.
Yeah. This experience has changed you in such a unique way, too. Do you think it's made you a more open person, more willing to share more of who Loretta Harrington is as a complete individual?
Yes, and that evolved as well, Jim. There was a lot of reluctance on my part to write the book. How is it going to be received? And the reluctance had to do with opening up myself and my inner feelings and thoughts to the world. Once it's on a piece of paper and published, it's out there. It lives forever. So I was particularly sensitive to that, and I wanted to show respect for those that would be in the book, including, of course, the main character, Zora, and his family. So, yes, sharing has been a big part of it, and it's a growth spurt. I was in a place in my life where I was grappling with what's next? What am I supposed to do? What is this? Where is this my soul path leading me? And the answer to that question is simple. It leads to a greater advancement, maturity in your personal and spiritual life, a little less anger. I've experienced a little less anger now, more accepting of other people. Am I judgmental? Yes, because I don't want to associate myself with people who don't hold my values and respect me and respect my emotions and my views. But we can debate and we can agree to disagree and go have a glass of wine and enjoy each other's company. Man is not made to be by themselves. We are meant to be with others. And I think it's a case of our choice and our choosing of who we want in our inner circle. I had it once explained to me on a whiteboard, and there was a circle, and the people come in and out of the circle. They come in for a reason, they leave for a reason, but it's always about the circle. And who's at the center of the circle? Well, there's a higher source than me that is orchestrating this, and it's up to me to say yes or no. And I probably have turned people away that would have wanted to get closer to me, but I wasn't prepared for that. I didn't have quite the openness or the energy to take that risk.
Now, we touched a little bit last week on the family's reaction, and I know your desire to protect the family, your family, of course. If we can back up a little bit, rewind it a little bit in terms of the initial family reaction and then your process as far as how you delivered the information to the family, maybe a little bit more elaboration on your desire and want to, quote-unquote, protect the family. Tell us a little bit about that a little bit more.
My desire to protect the family was foremost in my mind. Keep in mind, Jim, that I moved from my neighborhood, from my family home, many, many years ago. I was the one that left the family because my husband was active duty Marine Corps. We moved around a lot. So reuniting with my family under the circumstances of taking care of my father was difficult. They were there during the hospital visits. They were there picking him up. They were there taking him to physical therapy, and I was on the phone lending as much support as I could. If I came across in the book in any way of criticizing the decisions that they made or not respecting the hard work that that they did in the last, well, especially the last year before Dad passed away, I risked alienating my family, and I didn't want that. So I was extremely sensitive to that. So when I wrote the book and brought in my family, I tried to show as much respect for them, and I struggled with that because during the months of taking care of Dad, we had differences of opinion, which lasted right down to the time my dad was buried. My dad was a veteran, a World War II veteran, and the protocol at the cemetery is that we had a military funeral, is the flag goes to the eldest child, surviving child. That was me. But my sister wanted it, and she made it clear that when that part of the ceremony came to her, that she wanted the flag to go to her. Now, I could have taken objection to it. And I thought this through, and I said, at the end, how important is it? It was more important to her to have the flag that was draped on my father's casket. And sure enough, I took a deep breath and held back tears and accepted the decision. That's not in the book, but that's part of the reason why I had to be extremely careful, because there are times when I was hurt, and if I put that in the book, then I don't think I'd have much of a family left, and they did what they thought was best, and that's how I reconciled it, Jim.
And the feedback, anything about the feedback? What are some of the comments that you initially heard from family and maybe friends, and how have they changed as this has progressed for you?
The initial feedback when I told them that I was writing the book was, oh my gosh, really? What are you going to say about me? I come across really well in your book. And I would say, everyone's going to be positioned just fine. And they said, wow, they just were amazed. And when I published the book, no one read the book in my family, and they didn't read the manuscript. That was an intentional decision. And I said, you're probably going to find some things in the book that you don't quite remember. Well, sure enough, that's exactly what happened. My sister said, well, you had this part in the book. I don't remember it happening like that. And I said, okay, well, we were so busy at the time and a lot of activity going on, you probably don't remember it quite like that, but that's how I remember it. Interesting enough, my sister did not say, wow, I'm so glad you wrote this. She didn't say it. Yet, on the other hand, I think she was very glad to have the book and to have the story told. Now, on the other hand, my nephew and his wife completely embraced the book. My cousins were writing me. They knew my dad, and they were just thrilled by having a story told like this. But I think that comes. My sister's reaction comes with a bit of sibling rivalry, and that happens in a family, and I wanted to minimize that. And, Jim, we've not talked about it since. Mm-hmm. And when I tell them that we're working together, you and I are working together with our radio interviews and other media, they say, well, that's great. But then they don't say anything more than that. So I don't know. I don't know if that's something that they say, well, if it happens, then I'll comment. But there's just that piece of sibling rivalry that I still experience, and I let it go.
And they're not necessarily the audience either for the book or for the conversation necessarily, I would assume, right? You're really reaching out to people who may potentially or may already be experiencing something similar and they're open to it and receptive to it and appreciative of it, celebrate it, understand it, and live it and share it like you have been doing.
You're absolutely spot on. It wasn't written for them. It was written for an audience that may find themselves one day questioning relationships, questioning their role in life, questioning whether their life is well lived and what they can do to change it. So I've left it like this, Jim. They can take from the book what they like or not like. And so they've consciously done that. So yes, with our work together, I want many other people, hundreds and thousands of other people, to read the story and to walk away knowing that their questions are just as relevant as mine.
That's right, absolutely. They really, really are. So in this case, with the book, you mentioned that there's a possibility of another project, another book. Would it be an extension of this one, a totally different story? What is your thought process with that? That's very exciting.
Yes, I'm thinking about part two, to where Zora has come from, where he was 8 years ago, and bring in that more up to date chapter on what has happened since I wrote the book. I'm also intrigued by learning more about soul connections and studying it and delving into that a bit more than I have in the book. The book, I intentionally introduced the subject in the book with the thoughts that I would write a second book and talk about others that have come into my life and explore their connection with me. Now, that's going to require quite a bit of research, and of course, people would agree to it. But it comes under the thought of, and I've said this twice before during our conversation today, a life well lived. I'm looking into that philosophical side of things and where that fits in with the soul connections and people that come in and out of your life.
Which is really important, right? Recognition is really the first component to it all, and then an understanding of it, and then a real sharing, as you've done again so beautifully. And it's very, I really suggest people get the book, because it is, it makes you question even maybe some experiences that you might have had in the past that might have actually been this, something similar to what you've experienced, but we've shrugged it off. We've basically, rendered it null and void, and now maybe there could be more saying, oh boy, I wish I pursued that further. So maybe there'll be a little more cognizant of things in the future. A fascinating story, Loretta, and we're going to pick up with more next week, and I look forward to it. Talk a little bit about soulmates, too. I think a lot of times we think our soulmate is just the person that we date and or marry and live our lives with, but there's a whole other definition to it that you explained to me when we met in person. Absolutely fascinating. You can go to the website, LorettaHarrington.me, connect with Loretta. And also, the book is Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, and it's available on Amazon.com. Loretta, thanks for joining us on the show once again. Always an honor, always a pleasure, always enlightening, and looking forward to speaking with you on our next episode.
Thank you, Jim. I look forward to it as well.
Okay, thank you, and enjoy the rest of your week. And thank you for joining us as well. Again, our very special guest, Loretta Harrington. I'm Jim Masters, CUTV News. For the entire team
You've
here,
been listening
thank
to
you so
CUTV
much for joining
CUTV
us.
News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.